You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
We learned this week, yesterday technically, that the trade deficit grew in January, mostly because of imports of products and services from overseas. They outpaced what we sold abroad. And that in and of itself isn't all that surprising, given that American consumers rely on other countries for much of the stuff that we buy. Globalization is the word you're looking for there. But it is worth pointing out that even though we imported more than we exported, those exports were up as well. And point of fact, exports of consumer goods and vehicles hit records in January, and that's even after accounting for inflation. Marketplace's Justin Ho explains what's going on.
A rise in exports is a sign that consumer demand in other countries is strong. Katie Russ, an economics professor at UC Davis, says look at vehicle exports.
They're up in Asia compared to a year ago. They're up in Europe and South and Central America compared to a year ago. So this is really a global phenomenon.
Russ says other countries are recovering from the pandemic.
We've recently seen the European Union raise its growth forecast for 2023 in the Eurozone. The IMF raised its 2023 projection for Japan's growth this year.
An uptick in U.S. exports is a little surprising. For one, the strong dollar has been making U.S. exports more expensive overseas. Rachel Brewster, a professor at Duke, says U.S. trade policy has actually been discouraging many exports.
Unilaterally, we've imposed a lot of export restrictions on sensitive goods such as semiconductors. And the negotiations that we have been doing are largely with Japan and the Netherlands on reaching a multilateral agreement to shut off more trade with China on the export side rather than liberalizing.
Some of the increase in exports might not reflect growing economies. Christine McDaniel, senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center, says pharmaceutical exports were up by a lot in January. Thing is,
a lot of trade in the pharmaceutical sector is intra-industry trade, that is, large multinational corporations shipping to and from each other.
But McDaniel says there is underlying strength in the export sector. Other types of consumer goods are selling fairly well, too.
Cell phones, jewelry, stereo equipment, appliances, sports, apparel, etc.
Any increase in exports is welcome news for U.S. factories, says Chad Moutre with the National Association of Manufacturers.
We want a growing global economy, right? We want to be able to sell more of our products that helps lift overall incomes in the U.S.
And as the global economy keeps improving, he says U.S. exports could keep growing in the long term. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
U.S. benchmark crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, about $75 a barrel today. The global benchmark Brent North Sea, about $81 a barrel. The Russian benchmark, its most exported grade of oil, known as Urals, right around $60 a barrel. A substantial discount or penalty, pick your term, as a result of Western sanctions on Moscow. Thing is, that $60 price point for Russian oil is right near a three-month high, and that has oil traders and oil policymakers alike wondering what's going on. Marketplace's Lily Jamali covers energy for us.
The war in Ukraine has scrambled the market for Russian oil, says research analyst Pavel Molchanov of Raymond James.
The pool of buyers immediately dried up after the start of the war.
And that was before two Western measures aimed at punishing Russia, an EU ban on Russian crude and a $60 price cap spearheaded by the U.S. There are big legal and logistical risks involved in buying Russia's Urals-grade oil. Molchanov says as long as the war goes on,
Urals crude will continue to be heavily discounted compared to just about everything else in the global oil market.
Since the war began, Russia has shifted some crude exports to Asia, with much of that discounted oil landing in India, Turkey, and China. Bill Smead, chairman of Smead Capital Management, says part of the recent surge in recent crude prices stems from China's emergence from pandemic lockdowns.
That had kept the demand for oil down for a while, but now it's picking up sharply.
And the pool of buyers in China appears to be growing, says David Fife, chief economist at Argus Media. Until recently, a noticeable share of a kind of Russian crude from Siberia was going to China's small independent processors in the so-called teapot refining sector.
They've been the main purchaser and in many ways the main beneficiary of cheaper Russian crude over the last 8 to 10 months.
Now, larger Chinese refiners are getting interested, driving prices higher, he says. But few things affect oil prices like a threat to slash supply, which Russia has promised to do.
For March, they have unilaterally decided to cut their crude oil production by 500,000 barrels a day.
The extent to which they'll follow through could have a big effect on where Russian oil prices go from here. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.